Thank you all. I want to introduce the panel discussion by saying just a few short words. It was early in the morning on June the 28th of 1969 that the vice squad of the New York City Police Department raided the Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village. And it created such a stir and such a riot that 6 days of civil unrest occurred. Now, this Stonewall Inn was a place where people who identified as LGBTQ, as we would say today, felt welcome because they were not welcome generally in our culture, not even in New York City. The riots on that particular early morning and following thereafter started the civil rights movement for the LGBTQ community. And so that particular anniversary is important, which is why we have designated June as Pride Month, because that's when it happened. And in particular, it happened in 1969. What is the year today? I think it's 2019. So it is the 50th anniversary year, so it makes a very special year. Because St. Lucas has declared itself open and affirming, we vow to celebrate Pride Month every year. It is important to us because we believe that civil rights have not yet been achieved for all. So we're proud to do that. Last week, I preached a sermon on this very topic, and this week we have a panel discussion, and I'm going to invite those panelists, celebrated panelists, world-renowned panelists, to join us right now in these particular seats. And we're going to do it in two different sessions. We'll have a group of questions first, and then we'll break with a few things, like another song and some special music, and then we'll have them back. So it doesn't matter where you sit. And I think that we have mics sufficient, so that mic should take care of the two of you. This mic, hopefully the three of you. And we will begin our discussion with this particular question. And it doesn't matter to me who answers first. It doesn't matter to me whether all of you answer the same question. But whoever speaks first, if that initiates a thought in your mind, then you are welcome to say, well, I'd like also to speak on that question. So make this informal. This is fun. Right?
Yeah.
Homework is fun. We have not practiced this, nor do we want to, because it is better done informally. But let me start with this weird question, which is, I thought pride was one of the seven deadly sins. So, Pride Month. Explain the use of the term pride when we say Pride Month, if it doesn't designate something that's a deadly sin. What does it mean? You didn't study that one?
I can answer that to an extent. So pride is a deadly sin, but it's not pride like hubris or I'm better than anyone else. It's not that kind of pride. It's pride in being able to be the person you want to be and not be thrown in jail or executed or, if you're in a certain community, maybe stoned to death. I mean, it's important that we can say it's okay to be who we are and be proud of that. And especially in this month. Now, my LGBT youth group at my school, I think we celebrate Pride like all year, but this is that time, and I try to talk to them about Stonewall and things like that, but they're just like, we just want to be who we want to be, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's not the same kind of pride.
So it's like I'm proud to be an American or I'm proud
right.
to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the hubris.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. I think
Thank
that's
you.
Excellent. You get an A for that particular
Thank you.
Answer.
And I want to say just one thing before we
Please.
Go on to other questions.
Please.
I mean, the questions, you guys don't know exactly what the questions are, but I do. So I do know some of them because I'm psychic. No. but I want to say that I am so proud to be part of a church that can ask these hard questions.
Whoa.
And I like that we can have that dialogue and nobody hates anybody for that. And I think that that in itself, what we're doing right here, asking these hard questions, is a testament to like what we're doing here. So.
Wow. Yes. That is an extra A on that one. It's cool. One of the, and I'm going to pick out a person to answer this. In fact, I will say Neil. I want you to answer this one to begin with. Anyway, one of the largest impediments, one of the biggest impediments to civil rights for LGBTQ folk, has been the religious community. Sadly. We practice and preach love. Well, we preach love. I don't know how much we practice love. So I want to deal with a couple of the objections that perhaps you have heard that have been thrown at you, that have been thrown at me, as to why and how we can support the LGBTQ community. And the first one is probably the strongest one, and the one I hear, the objection I hear the most, and that is, it ain't in the Bible. It's against the Bible. It's against the Bible. How would you answer that, Neil? LGBTQ lifestyle is sin because it is against the Bible.
Well, you can prove anything that you want to prove by looking through the Bible and finding a verse here or there and quoting it and say, this proves what I want to prove, because the Bible is a very diverse group of writings, and there are things in there that, you know, date back thousands of years. But as Christians, we try to interpret the Bible based on the teachings and the life of Jesus. So everything in the Bible, when we're reading it, we say, you know, how would Jesus look at this? What would Jesus do about it? And in the Bible, there's no record of Jesus speaking against loving relationships among people of the same sex. So Jesus doesn't address the issue of sexual orientation. He doesn't address the issue of gender identity. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in looking back, reflecting on Jesus' life, said that it seemed to him that people who follow this way of Jesus find that gender becomes unimportant. In the book of Ephesians, Paul says that in Christ there is neither male nor female. So apparently that wasn't something that was important to Jesus or to those who came after him.
Hmm. Anybody else want to pick up on that? What are some of your thoughts? If I came up to you and said, you're wrong for believing that because it's against the Bible. Anybody else?
I've always been taught and read that Jesus loves everybody, period. It doesn't matter color, race, religion, gender identity, whatever nationality you are, he loves everybody. And if we are true Christians, we love everybody.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, how about this one? Here's an objection that we have likely heard, and that is, especially gay men are often accused of being oriented to, because of that sexual identity, oriented naturally to being child molesters. I've heard that a lot, that the gayness in males makes them more prone to abuse children. So we don't want them in our church teaching Sunday school. We don't want them in our schools teaching our children. What would you say to that objection?
I feel bad for Catholics. Because they seem to be having some trouble there. But, I mean, I'm just saying. I'll start with, I think that any group who is an outlier, they are going to be, well, they must be pedophiles. You know, if you are Jewish, then you're going to be, you know, cast into this light. You know, it's just like anybody who's different, they get a stigma attached to them just because people are afraid. People are afraid of people who are different, and they don't know how to love. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know any pedophiles, at least I don't think I do, but when I see them in the news, they look like regular, everyday people. They don't. They look like everybody. So,
that gender identity cannot be.
No, you can't assign that.
To that illegality.
It's two different things.
Yeah. Completely.
Yeah. Okay. Catherine? Speak.
I just think that there's plenty. If you are looking in the news and you're seeing the people that are coming up, there are plenty of straight men and women who have also committed those terrible crimes against children. It's not just about someone who's gay or someone who's different. That happens to all kinds of different people. If they're someone that has that problem and they're going to commit that sin, then their gender, their identity, their sexuality, none of that really matters. They've already committed to doing those types of sinful things, doing those types of wrongdoings to children or whoever else. It's the same to me as someone who's a murderer. They don't say like, oh, well, because, you know, I'm not straight, therefore I'm more likely to kill someone. That's the same thing. It's not something that you can attach to a gender identity or a sexuality. It's just something that they like to push on us as a negative thing, which to me, kind of like you said, anyone who's different is the assumption that because someone's a Muslim, therefore they're a terrorist, which as we know is absolutely incorrect. It's just that negative feeling because, okay, maybe one person was, but how many of them were straight as well that have done just as terrible things, men and women, who have been straight, who have done those same things to children. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I just don't think there's any weight to that comment to hold it true.
Don't think you'll have any objection among us.
And I'd like to just add to that from a psychological point of view.
Yes.
Any person, whether gay or straight, male or female, is more likely to engage in abusive behavior if they have a poor sense of self-worth, or if they have a poor, or if they feel ashamed of who they are, ashamed of their sexual orientation, because our sexual identity is a part of who we are. It's ingrained into our bodies, into our minds, into our hearts and souls. So if someone is told repeatedly that their sexual identity is sick or evil, that can stifle a healthy development of their identity. Sometimes that does happen. So I think the best thing that we as a church can do, or as schools, as society in general, it to reduce instances of inappropriate behavior is to help all people develop a healthy sense of self-worth, and that includes affirming all people's sexual identity and gender expressions.
Wow. Whew. Well, I think that you're all A students today, I'll tell you what.
I have something to add,
too. Oh, well, please do.
I think common sense should take place here. We're all adults sitting out here, and we're all attracted to one sex or the other. Does that mean that we're attracted to kids that are that same sex? Probably not. So why would it be any different?
Very good. Ray, I'm going to pick on you for the next question before we take our first break. Let's see. What hard question can I ask you? You know, we have this Pride Month for LGBTQ people. This is another objection that I hear, and I want your response to. No one's celebrating my straightness. So why do we need to celebrate someone's LGBTQ-ness?
Well, I'll admit that when the issue first came up several years ago, I was one that also questioned that and wondered, is it really important that we get specific about the open and affirming LGBTQ community? And after hearing some firsthand stories, if you will, it made me realize what it must feel like to be LGBTQ and to be afraid to come to church and possibly hear something that was negative, was from the very conservative Christian right, that that was spewing some hatred things. And I heard it explained that we're dealing with people here. We're not dealing with an issue. And that also helped to bring it home to me to realize that, yes, these LGBTQ folks have been persecuted, some by their own families, for so long. Isn't it high time that we as a church profess what's been said up here, that Jesus loved everybody? Mm-hmm. Let's love everybody, and let's go one step further and declare as a church that we are open and affirming.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Anybody else want to add to that?
It's a way to educate people also. Mm-hmm. We have Black History Month, and in the schools they teach all kinds of Black history. Mm-hmm. So it's just calls attention to, hey, we need to be educated about this, and it gives us the opportunity to do so.
Well, I hate to bring up Facebook, but there is a popular meme out there that I agree with. A lot of them I don't. I agree with this one. A good answer, just quick, short answer, off the cuff, why don't you celebrate straightness? Good answer would be, thank God you don't need to. In our country, that's not something we have to worry about, especially white, straight men. We're privileged, and we don't have to have a month for white, straight men.
So,
pardon me? It's the other 11 months of the year that we already do. That's a good point. Okay, that's right. There we go. There we go. Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with some more specific questions about St. Lucas. And I would like to call the panel back, if you would, please. And as they're coming forward, some of you may have noticed that there are only four names in the bulletin: Neil, Tammy, Ray, and Debbie. And we have five people up here. Who is the odd person out? Well, it would be Catherine Coleman, who is to my immediate left. And the reason for that is electronics. We communicated this week, I with all five, but for some reason, Catherine's response never went through the airwaves, or however they go, to reach me. So I did not know until the bulletin had been printed that Catherine also had accepted my invitation to be part of the panel. So my apologies. Or maybe we should blame AT&T or somebody like that. I don't know. Who knows? We'll blame somebody else. We're going to continue our discussion. I want to get a little bit more personal insofar as we want to talk about St. Lucas. In 2014, November of 2014, St. Lucas United Church of Christ declared itself open and affirming. We say O&A, open and affirming, which takes us beyond the mere word and language of welcome. When we went through that decision, some people said, why do we need, this kind of goes back to the question from the first session, why do we need a special welcome to LGBTQ people? I mean, every church I've been to says everyone's welcome. If you ask any church member from any church in this community and around the world, would anybody be welcome to come to your church? Well, of course everybody's welcome. Why did we choose to become O&A and take that further step of saying, you're not just welcome, you are affirmed? Someone speak to that, please.
Well, I guess I'll start off with that. A lot of places are welcoming until they find out something about you that they don't like, and then you're not welcome. Here, it doesn't matter. And everybody is on equal playing field, and it doesn't matter. We love everybody, and we welcome everybody, no matter what.
Okay. Anybody else?
I would say that when it comes to churches, there are different levels of welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And as an example, I worked in a Roman Catholic church for 14 years. The pastors there, the other staff members, and most of the people in the church welcomed me as a gay person. They accepted my relationship with David. and we became good friends with many of those people. But the official teachings of the Roman Catholic Church was that my relationship with David is sinful. I never heard the regular priests there say that homosexuality was a sin. But over time, that official teaching of the church that my relationship was wrong or inferior, even if it was mostly unspoken, I could feel that it was taking a toll on me, on my spiritual well-being, and I knew that I needed a change. So I decided when I realized that I needed to be in a church where I was more fully affirmed and my relationship could be celebrated and talked about openly.
Very good. Who else?
I would like to say, too, you never know. Somebody in your family may all of a sudden come out that hasn't. And how would you feel? I mean, just how would you feel? How would you treat them? Would you treat them any different?
Ray, it comes back to a comment Ray made earlier that some families will even reject their own, but a lot will not. Mm-hmm. Many families rethink the issue when they discover that a cherished family member has come out as LGBT or Q. And I think that's important, that when we know people, when we understand other people, it really, it begins to affect you. And can you say that God hates you, my cousin or my brother or my whatever, simply because I think it's in the Bible? It causes a change of attitude, rethinking, right?
I believe that there are some individuals and churches that will never change their opinion, and that's okay. But in general, I think there has been such an improvement in the education process, and we as a society, we have a long way to go yet, but we're just not quite as stupid about some of those issues as what used to be. You know, we've met people, and I think coming out is part of it. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I didn't realize that you were a member of the LGBTQ community, and you're a pretty decent person.
Imagine.
And I think that has helped a lot, just mm-hmm. The education process.
Okay.
Well, and fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. You know, you tend to fear what you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Catherine wants to add something.
And I think it's not just churches, but it goes for the families as well. A lot of people, I think, miss the true meaning of unconditional love. They say that they love everyone, that they care, that they love their family, but there's always kind of that little asterisk there insinuating that they're small print, where it's unless they're gay, or if you're Catholic, unless you've been divorced, or unless anything like that that goes against exactly what they've been taught, then it's not okay to them. And they just don't understand that you can still love someone even if you don't understand why they feel a certain way or why they do a certain thing or how they live their life. And that doesn't necessarily make it a sin just because it's different from yours. But they're so quick to attach that as a negative thing just because it's different, which is what Tammy mentioned in the very beginning.
It's a great movie quote that reminds me of. One of Brad Pitt's first movies, A River Runs Through It. His father is a minister. And in his closing sermon, he says, we can love even if we can't understand. And that's basically what you're saying. I mean, that's what love is. I can't maybe understand what it feels like to be gay or trans or whatever, but I can certainly love unconditionally, even if I can't feel what they are feeling. I can love and embrace and say, you are one with us. You are fine. You are valid. You are good. Anything else on that particular question? So help me out here, and this is actually a question for council. So council members, be thinking of how to address this in upcoming council meetings. Beyond the fact that we have declared ourselves to be ONA here at St. Lucas, what other things might we do to support the LGBTQ community? I mean, that was a big step. And as a matter of fact, we lost members because of that. But we did the right thing. We did the just thing. We did the loving thing. But what else do you think? What are some ideas that come to mind about other ways that we can support that we haven't thought of or are not doing?
Well, we are doing the... We had the appearance at the Gay Pride Parade.
Okay.
The banner.
Yes.
And I think that kind of support within the community is important for us to get out there and be seen and, again, openly affirm that all are welcome here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want you to add your thing, too. Before she adds her thing, I want to say that I think being a part of different LGBTQ community support like ARG and the River City Pride, you know, not just focusing on one group that helps to support people young and old in this area, but being kind of in all of the groups. That way we don't get left out of anything. Mm-hmm. We knew about the parade, you know, it's been a year in planning, but I didn't really know about it until I actually went to one of their meetings, you know. And I don't know if you know, the way we were doing it before, if I ever would have gone to one of their meetings. Mm-hmm. So
we do have, and I'll get to you, Catherine, here in just a second. We do have a new partnership, for those of you who might not know it, with ARG, which is AIDS Resource Group. As a matter of fact, they hold their yearly memorial service here. And in July, the date doesn't just come to mind, but it'll be advertised. They're featuring a free lemonade stand on our parking lot, in which they will pass out information about HIV testing and that sort of thing. Also, free Narcan kits will be distributed that same day. So we'll let you know when that happens. Catherine?
I think that from my own personal experience, the first time that I went to a Pride event, which was in Indianapolis, the most overwhelming thing to me there was the presence of churches or people of different faiths, and realizing that they were actually participating in it, not just that, you know, yeah, it's okay if you come and we're not going to shun you, but that they were actually going around, they were hugging us, and they were welcoming us, and they were apologizing for other things that had been done and the hate that we had faced. And I think that one of the best things that we can do is to continue normalizing it. What people use, really the only thing that is used against us is religion. So when you have people that are Christians that are showing them that, you know, no, that's not the way that Christians love. You know, we actually love everyone. We welcome everyone. We want everyone to come, and you are welcome here, and God does love you, because what we've heard our entire lives is that he doesn't, and we're not welcome, and we're not going to go to heaven, and that we are rejected. And normalizing that and just kind of helping push that message and having that presence in different groups is very, very important, because as that's kind of pushed along, you have people who have not been able to go to church that are finally like, well, maybe I do have a safe place to go. And for myself personally, from whenever I started coming here finally until now, it has completely changed my life. It has made it so much more positive, so much more just loving, and my relationship with God is so much better. And I wouldn't have had that if people from those other churches hadn't had a presence in the community at the time. And it's not because they apologize for anything, but just showing up and just being there really makes all the difference. And it just lets them know that our fight is your fight as well, and that you're willing to stand up and that you're willing to come with us for that support. And that means, to me, that means more than most people will ever know because of what we faced up to this point. It's getting a lot better now, but in the past and since growing up, it's completely changed. And having that support is beyond important to be able to have that relationship with God. And that overall is more life-changing than anything.
Wow. And your wedding was beautiful.
And
Sierra's back there. I'll embarrass her. Sierra, thank you for loving Catherine, and it was a wonderful ceremony.
I would just echo what they've said. I noticed yesterday in marching in the parade, there were times when I could see people's reaction when they would see our banner and see God is love, see Christ, United Church of Christ, and church on there. You could just see they would lighten up, even though many of these people probably will never show up here, the people that were lining the street. I think we showed that we're with them and touched something within them that was meaningful.
So what I'm hearing you all say is more of a public voice, such as being involved in the parade and other places as well, other venues, and then more partnerships with organizations that support LGBTQ rights, like ARG and some of the other organizations that we are partnering with. Very good, very good. What would you say to someone out there that is not aware of the ONA standard, the gold standard, which is to openly affirm people of other varieties of sexual identity and expression? What would you say to someone who says, kind of what was said to Catherine early on, that you don't belong? The reason I don't go to church is because they're anti-gay. Let's put it just bluntly. What would you say?
I can start with that. When I very first started here, I was doing breakfast and with, Gene, and we were doing the milk and the juice, and one of the breakfast workers came over and he sat down. He goes, I used to love this church. And I'm like, oh, I love this church. I think it's great. And he goes, but I can't come here anymore. I just come here and do breakfast and then I just leave because I can't agree with the gay people should not be coming to this church. And I was like, because I'm, I guess I don't look the part or whatever. I don't know. But I was like, oh, really? I was like, oh, okay. And he's super sweet guy. And I don't know. I mean, I feel bad for those people. Like, where do those people, fit in? I mean, how can you live with, that in your heart and it be okay with yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I don't...
Right.
I think, like Neil said earlier, if you want to justify just almost any position about any issue, you can go to the Bible and you can find a verse or several verses that will support you in your, I'm going to say, closed-mindedness. I'm glad that our focus here is on the New Testament love of Jesus, and he's taught us that that's how we are to behave, and he, I think, continues to teach us that love everybody. I feel sorry for the individuals like you witnessed, because there are some, and that's why I say we still have some work to do.
And I have found older people. And I consider I'm an older person, too, but I'm talking about, some generations that are above me. They have thought some way for so long that it's really hard to get them to understand or to change their opinion. And that is sad that they're not willing to grow, because that's what it is. It's growing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Growth.
Whether it's Christians or another religion or whatever it may be, I think that there are always people that will use their religious writings for negative uses. And it just depends on where they've been taught. So I don't even, a lot of people call them extremists or Muslim extremists or Christian extremists. I just always refer to them as mistaught. It's not, they didn't grow up, they weren't just born being, so extremely against one thing or another. The main thing that I wish that those people would do is, as odd as this sounds, is just see children's interactions with different kinds of people, whether that's a different race or a different religion or a different gender or identity, because the children that haven't learned that don't know the difference, and they love everyone the same, and they view us all the same because they haven't been misguided and mistaught to think any different. They haven't been told, well, you should hate that person because of this, or you shouldn't associate with that person because of this. Everyone's the same to them. They either like them or they don't, you know, because, you know, they gave them a cookie and that person wouldn't give them a snack or whatever. You know, it's a much simpler thing. And I think that they all just kind of confuse it, and they have followed people that have mistaught them what it really means to love and accept other people. And I just hope that one day they will learn what it actually means, and that they will be retaught what it actually means to love and accept someone of, again, anyone that's different, whether it's religion, race, or gender, or sexuality.
I think that's a good way to kind of close, because basically what you're saying is let the children lead. Right? Yeah, children don't act that way. They don't see color or sexuality. They see another human being. It's kind of like being one of my dogs. Dogs are like that. That's why I love dogs so much. They don't see those things. They, oh, it's a person. I want to lick you. I want you to pet me. I love you. And that's the way children are too. So let the children lead. All are welcome. And all are affirmed in this place. It is the community of Jesus. Thank you very much. Give these folks a hand.